Our next speaker is Dr. Peter Pfeiffer. He is a professor of physics as well as the department chair here at University of Missouri Columbia. And he's going to be talking to us about the Alliance for Collaborative Research for Alternative Fuel Technology. And he's going to be presenting, and he's changed the title a little bit, Advanced Nanoporous Carbon for Natural Gas and Hydrogen Storage.
The title is still there.
That is anyway, still there. Okay, so let me turn the floor over to you.
Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be here, and in particular, perhaps to follow in the footsteps what T. Boone Pickens was talking about yesterday. So he obviously made a strong case for natural gas. And Jimmy Liu just talked about hydrogen storage and various things. So I feel very privileged to have this opportunity to talk about specific aspects of these things. T. Boone Pickens argued why natural gas is the only winning proposition to move 18-wheelers, and what I would like to present to you today is what it would take and what it takes and how we can actually accomplish to make natural gas also the preferred fuel for four-wheelers, namely passenger cars, that are much smaller from the high, let's see. How do I move from one slide to the next? Oh, I see. Let's see. Just like that? Okay. So I would like to start with a quote from USA Today. It's just an excerpt of various things. Imagine, so this was before gasoline prices went through the roof last summer, but they were still fairly high, like $3 in California per gallon. Imagine paying as little as $1.25 a gallon to run your car. You would pump a fuel that's readily available, North American produced, and virtually pollution free. Many motorists could even fill up in their own garages every night. Now, what if this magical car were available today? And I think T. Boone Pickens gave the answer. He is obviously the proud owner of a Honda Civic GX, which runs on natural gas, which you can fuel in a home-based fueling station. Oh, I was doing the wrong thing. To go back is... Right. I'm sorry, I'm a Macintosh person and I still don't know what all these buttons here do to go back.
You'll hit Control F and we'll go full screen and you can just use it down
there. Well, this is PDF.
Full screen mode. Okay. And now I can use these. Oh, okay. There we go. So I would like to tell you how we got to showcase this natural gas vehicle and a tank based on nanoporous carbon, which is sort of shown here in the way the National Science Foundation made a poster for us. I would like to draw your attention to the fact that this truck, which was showcased at a press conference about 2 years ago, is in front of Jesse Hall with this natural gas, adsorbed natural gas fueling tank. So I think you might find it interesting to see actually a few things that I'm showing here on slides in real life. What the objectives of the Alliance for Collaborative Research in Alternative Fuel Technology is all about is that we want to develop low-pressure, high-capacity storage technologies for natural gas, methane, or hydrogen based on new adsorbent materials that we have developed and still want to develop at the University of Missouri. Our winning proposition has been a nanoporous carbon made from corn cob. It acts like a sponge for natural gas. And the objective was to demonstrate this as a to get a flat panel natural gas tank on next generation clean vehicles. There's also potential applications to collect biomethane in remote locations. So I think I don't want to go through all these things one by one, except to say that we've been generously funded over the past 4 years by initially the National Science Foundation, and then the DOE, and most recently the California Energy Commission, to get natural gas back on track. The partners in this alliance are the University of Missouri, represented by various departments, physics, chemical engineering, the University, the Missouri University Research Reactor. The Midwest Research Institute has played a fundamental role in us being putting the whole thing on an actual demonstration vehicle. Here are some other partners. I also would like to point out that the university has just maybe a month ago or so signed a license agreement with a company called ANG Containment Delivery Systems that is going to commercialize this for natural gas. This is a long list that I have to use a very small type to get everyone on it. Here are all the, most of them are students, red, in red are senior people who have worked in my lab, who also have worked in chemical engineering, and the long list of people at MRI who have been developing the prototype tank, the hull, and the fuel delivery system, and a whole bunch of consultants. So I just wanted to say that without, in particular, all these people's help, we never would have been getting where we are today. So the whole story started in 2002 when we discovered a activated carbon, which was basically crisscrossed, like you see it here in a cross section, by very small nanopores, 1.4 nanometers in width. This can hold about two or three molecules of methane. And the here is a case where it's very easy to explain why nanopores, or nano that Jimmy was talking about before, is so important. In very narrow pores, the adsorption forces that come from the two walls actually overlap and produce a much deeper energy well, which provides like a much larger binding energy, almost twice as large. And that is one of the keys to the successful performance. It also at the same time creates a huge surface area, which I'll talk about in a little bit. I don't think I need to go into any of this because we've heard so much about it. What I would just like to point out is right now it's still true that natural gas at the pump is between 80 cents and $1.20 per equivalent gallon of gasoline. If the entire nation were to switch to natural gas for as a transportation fuel, this could easily save ourselves $300 billion every year, and as was indicated, have it all from a domestic source. So here are the pros for natural gas. It's clean, up to 40% reduction of CO2. Also, things that you have in diesel exhaust are not there. So these natural gas vehicles have been around in Kansas City at the airport, in Kansas City, all over the city fleet, in St. Louis at the airport, or here, trash truck. And the question I would really like to ask, if this is such a good fuel from so many perspectives, why are you and I not driving a natural gas fueled car? The answer is, right now, the way the natural gas is stored is in these big cylindrical tanks at 3,600 PSI, which require that pressure requires them to be cylindrical. And if you look in the backside of a Honda Civic, you will see the black barrel there, which is occupies about 3/4 of the trunk space and still has only a driving range of about 200 miles. And so the idea is that we would like to go to lower pressures so we no longer have to have a cylindrical shape occupying valuable cargo space, but basically make a flat panel tank which could be fit under the floor of a vehicle or in some other unused space. Sometimes people talk about a conformable tank, and here's a picture, I think it was shown yesterday, from an earlier project in Atlanta where actually such a flat panel tank and carbon briquettes were developed to that absorb by fissorption natural gas in a significant amount. So our goal was basically to achieve what has not been achieved before, namely for the first time to reach the Department of Energy target for natural gas at room temperature, which is 118 grams per liter carbon or tank material. We achieved that. The best previous result was about 100 grams per liter. And just to show you how this works, I would like to, this is one of the few diagrams I have here. So here is shown how much methane you have stored in the tank depending on what the pressure is. So at 500 PSI, which we have chosen because it's a pressure in natural gas pipelines, and therefore you can eliminate all the compression costs for ordinary natural gas vehicles. This is how much we store with the carbon. It's about 4 times more than in the tank at the same pressure without any carbon. And so you can see how this sponge effect of the carbon really allows this high storage capacity much higher at a relatively low pressure. We tested just very recently, and this is literally fresh off the lab, whether the storage capacity is still higher at compressed natural gas tank conditions, which are 3,600. And actually, on our, one of our samples, we found this. On others, the superior performance is even better than what is shown here. So I would like now to show you one of these briquettes, which I brought with me. And I can maybe pass it around so you see what it looks like. Just a piece of charcoal that you might fire up in the in your 4th of July barbecue thing or whatnot, because it looks black like all cats look at night. But what is special about it is that it's really crisscrossed with these tiny nanopores. And to give you an idea of how much is surface area is stored in this briquette. It is about this, if you laid it out, it's about this area of our campus here. So here is Jesse Hall. And so basically, in this very compact form, has a surface area that could hold much of the MU campus. We work quite hard to actually find good performing, to try out different formulations. But this is now watered on the bridge. The National Renewable Energy Lab calls our carbon briquettes Missouri hockey pucks because they have this shape. And I just wanted to say briefly something about hydrogen is that because we have such high surface areas, we also try to see how hydrogen storage capacities work on our carbons. And this is at liquid nitrogen temperature. This is not the preferred storage method, but we can easily, with 40 bar, which is still a relatively low pressure, get 10 weight percent The 2010 DOE target is 6 to 8% at ambient temperature and about 50 bar. I also would like to point out what makes Missouri special in all this in another way is at Fort Leonard Wood in Rolla, this is the only hydrogen fueling station in the whole Midwest. And I happened to be there at its opening last year, and I think it was a mighty force of showing what Missouri, how forward-looking Missouri is. So I'm just going to go through a few. I didn't pay attention to time. 5 more minutes. Okay. I would like to just show a few pictures in terms of what what the work in the lab looks like. We are measuring methane uptake gravimetrically in specially designed sample cells. Then the briquettes, like you, the one that's circulating, goes into the far end of this test fixture. This is one that MRI, the Midwest Research Institute, built for us. And it was basically a way to look at the performance of these briquettes as not as small samples, but in conditions like in an actual tank. We do small angle X-ray scattering at the advanced photon source. This is a big synchrotron at Oregon National Lab. That allows us to learn a lot about the pore structure. Here is a press in chemical engineering that was used to make these carbon briquettes in a, according to a special formulation. So here's again the vehicle that's in front of Jesse Hall. The actual tank here was designed in terms of 6 cylindrical aluminum tubes holding a total of about 300 of these carbon briquettes. This was all MRI's design and also to connected with the have the fuel delivery system to the engine. You will say, and fairly so, this is not the flat panel tank that I promised. And indeed, it is not. I can tell you we still have a little bit of that aluminum extrusion I had on an earlier slide. In the AgLog project, they produced, had that custom made by a company in Europe for $1.5 million, just the aluminum extrusion alone. Our budget was, project was running on a shoestring budget, so to demonstrate how these briquettes perform, they don't really care whether they're in a flat tank, which the aluminum pipes cost maybe $700, or whether they're in a $1.5 million casing that was specially designed. I think when I point that out, that also indicates there is room for further development to identify optimal casing materials and structures, how to put this actually under the floor as opposed to the loading deck of the truck. So here again is the our prototype tank. I also would like to point out that the vehicle that we have this on is sponsored by the Kansas City Office of Environmental Quality. We did not have a budget to buy an absorbed natural gas vehicle just for this purpose alone, so this is also perhaps a point to say thank you to the City of Kansas City. I would like to end with a, sort of just a history. In 1 year, it will be the 100th anniversary of the first natural gas vehicle. You see where the tank was. It's a big balloon on the trailer. In Europe and other parts of the world, in the mid-30s, there were huge natural gas tanks like on the roof of vehicles. If you look at buses in China, which very often, for environmental reasons, also run on natural gas, they also have these big balloons on the roof of their tank. We already talked about the barrel in the back of the Honda Civic. So our goal is, with our carbon, to have such a rectangular or flat panel tank. This is the way the NSF artist perceived it. It probably will not be as exposed as you see it there. But I'm very grateful that they actually tried to make a good effort to show the whole story in one single poster. So here is our nanoporous carbon. Again, according to the artist's perception, the initial material and then the chemical steps to eventually convert it into these briquettes and finishing up with this kind of future tank. One thing I would like to emphasize, because sometimes I'm asked about that, so we do not use the kernels of the cob, so we don't compete for food like bioethanol might, but it's just the cob that's being ground to a fine powder, which then serves as the starting material. And so it's literally a waste product. I have here a few more things about recovery from biomethane from landfills. If you're probably aware of the fact that methane, as it comes out of landfills, is a 20 times more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide is. And so there's a mandate to capture methane at landfills, and everyone can do that in small landfills, maybe with stationary tanks that fit on a trailer tractor, or in bigger places there will be a power plant associated with the landfill. This could alone power about 4 million homes per year. And for those of you who are interested, I made some rough estimates of what kind of businesses could generate if we all go that way. Thank you very much for your attention.